read chapter 1 of Jonah, the beginning chapter. And as we've read it, we read that the book opens with the words, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." And God told Jonah to do two things. He said, "Go to Nineveh," and he said, "Call out against it." Which basically means, Jonah, get yourself to Nineveh and tell them that they're in trouble. And their problem is that they've become so wicked and evil, God said, "I'm not going to put up with it any longer." And so Jonah, of course, heeds God's word. And we expect, as we read it, to see off he goes and does it. But the reality is, he didn't. Jonah's response is to run away. And so he went to the port of Joppa, but instead of jumping on a boat to Nineveh, he gets a boat to Tarshish. And if Nineveh is in the east, Tarshish is in the west. And it's about as far away as you can go. So what Jonah is basically saying is he doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. He's going to do the exact opposite. And the same is true of you and I. We might look at Jonah and his seems very obvious, very huge, his disobedience. But if we choose to disobey God in our lives, then effectively we're running away from him as well. We're saying, "God, I don't want to do it your way, I want to do it my way." One of the most popular funeral hymns, I'm told, is "My Way" by Frank Sinatra. At least I think it's Frank Sinatra, is it?
Yeah,
thank you. It's a bit old for me, that one. But it was My Way by Frank Sinatra. And that's kind of a way we often are. And if you and I choose to do this, we're rebelling against God. And sometimes the rebellion is very obvious. It's very open in people's lives. But other times it might be quite subtle and quite private. But we will know deep down if we are doing so. So perhaps as you consider Jonah's actions and you consider him running away, as you sit there, maybe you can relate to it. Maybe God is asking you to do something in your life, and you know he is. But you kind of don't want to do it, so you're delaying obeying him. Maybe you're trying to ignore it, thinking perhaps if I just kind of ignored it long enough, it might go away, or the time might be past. I wonder if Jonah went to Tarshish because it was so far away, he thought, by the time I get there, if God still wants me to go back, it'll be too late. He'd have dealt with it by then. We can be like that sometimes in our lives if we try to ignore God. Or perhaps someone has wronged you, or hurt someone you loved. And you know that God wants you to forgive them, but you just don't want to do it. You don't want to forgive. Or maybe it's your resources. Perhaps God is asking you for some of the things that he's blessed you with. Perhaps he's asking you to give back from some of what you've got. Maybe your time, maybe money, maybe even your car for a lift. Or maybe he wants you to do something for him. Maybe he's calling you to be more faithful with it, to return things to him. Or maybe it's with your gifts and your abilities that God has bestowed upon you. Perhaps God is asking you to do stuff for him, but you don't want to. Maybe it's a bit scary. Maybe it's time consuming and you've got other things. Maybe you want to get your career on the go first, and so you suppress God's voice in your head. Whenever God asks us to do something, we have a choice. We can either obey it or disobey it. We can choose to do it or we can choose to run away. And the truth is that just like Jonah, we can always find a boat going in another direction if we want one. But the key to our response to God is the same as the key to Jonah's response to God. And that is, it's in our hearts. It's how close we are to him. And I'd suggest before Jonah started running to Tarshish, he'd already started to run away from God in his heart. And this was shown by the fact that he wasn't unconditionally willing to obey God. He didn't do what God said, and so he ran away. And when he headed off to Tarshish, he was basically saying, "I want my will done, God, and not yours." So Jonah's heart was out of step with God. And there are at least four reasons for this that we find in Jonah 1. And they're the same four reasons that apply to us and everybody else who's ever lived. And we can read and we can watch and we can see from Jonah the traps he fell into, the mistakes he made, and then we can make a choice. We can be wise and learn from them, or we can be foolish and ignore them, and if we're not careful, end up in the same situation as Jonah. I don't mean in the belly of a big fish, but running away from God. Now Jonah then, four reasons. His first one was he had a lack of fear. Now that's an interesting one, because a lot of times people look at that story and assume he didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach because he was afraid. But that wasn't really the reason. Jonah's lack of fear as well wasn't about the Ninevites. Jonah's lack of fear was about God. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And when the Bible talks about the fear of God, it doesn't mean we should be trembling in our boots every time we hear God's name, or running scared every time in case we do something slightly wrong so that God will zap us from heaven. It means we should have, though, an amazing amount of respect for God and love for Him because of all He's done for us, that leads us to want to please Him and follow Him and give our lives to Him. This is what the Bible means when it talks about the fear of God in our lives. But at this point in his life, Jonah didn't have that fear. If he had, he wouldn't have run away. He would have gone immediately to Nineveh and done what God had asked him to do. But in verse 9, when the lot falls on Jonah, they draw lots and God makes sure Jonah gets that lot, the sailors ask him a question. Or a series of questions. But basically what they were saying was, okay, what have you done that means we've got this storm going on? And Jonah says this, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. In other words, Jonah said, I'm worshiping Almighty God, who's in control of everything. But this surely begs the question when we think about Jonah's situation. Jonah, were you really worshipping God at this point in your life? Were you really fearing God? If you were, you wouldn't have been running away from him. And in our country today, there are going to be lots of people who claim to be Christians, who go to church, who maybe go to midweek meetings, who even perhaps serve in churches. Outwardly, they look as if things are fine. But in their hearts, they've let gaps grow between them and God. They aren't living with the fear of the Lord in their lives. They're living for themselves with a token gesture for God on Sundays. And if we're like that, then it means that we're already beginning to limit what God can do with our lives and what we're willing to do for God. And so in churches, just because we're in churches, doesn't mean that we're all right with God, that we aren't running from him. We could sit here this morning and sing the hymns and read the word, and yet deep down inside we know that we've got a heart problem, that we aren't living our lives for God, we're living them for our own desires. And God says us running away from him, that is rebelling from him. So outwardly it's possible to look good, but we cannot fool God. So the first thing the story of Jonah asks us is, do we fear the Lord? But as well as having a lack of fear, Jonah also suffered from a lack of faith. Now faith means we leave everything in God's hands, whether we understand it or not. Whether we know whether it's going to be excellent and wonderful, or if we think, wow, I don't understand what's happening or why this is happening in my life. However, with faith, we just trust that God will always do the right thing. And now, Jonah didn't have that faith in God when it came to the request for him to go to Nineveh. To be able to understand, perhaps, why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, we have to understand a bit about the people who lived there, their inhabitants, during Jonah's time. Now, the Ninevites were from the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrian Empire was perhaps the biggest superpower, we would call it, of that day. They were very, very powerful, but they were also a very evil and ruthless empire, which is why God was telling Jonah to go to Nineveh in the first place. The city of Nineveh was the largest in the Assyrian Empire, and for a long time it was its capital city. And at the time of Jonah, like I said, the Assyrians were very powerful, but they also flaunted that power in numerous acts of heartless cruelty throughout the land. And they were especially brutal in the way they treated and tortured their captives. They were so evil, it was said, that towns full of people would commit suicide rather than fall into their hands if they looked like they were going to invade that city. This is the sort of people that God told Jonah to go to. People that did all sorts of evil atrocities, and people who were the enemies, if you like, the bitter enemies of Jonah's own people, Israel. If you want a more modern comparison, I guess the best I could think of is it would be like a Jewish person during World War II being in London, hearing all the atrocities of the camps and everything else the Nazi Party were doing, and then being told by God to go over to Berlin and proclaim his word to the Nazi Party. It's that kind of situation that Jonah was being in. And maybe when we see that, we can understand a little bit more why Jonah acted as he did. But the problem is, Jonah didn't have that complete faith that God knew what was best. And so the story of Jonah asks us, do you have complete faith and trust in your life to trust God in all circumstances? Not only the good, but also the bad. In illness, in unemployment, in whatever it is, do you trust God that his word, when he says that he will work for the good of all who love him, do you trust him and do you believe him? That is the question that Jonah asks us. How is our faith? Now, the third problem Jonah had is perhaps the most obvious when you think of how the Assyrians were, and that is a lack of forgiveness. Jonah was not willing to forgive the Ninevites for the cruel and barbaric things they'd done to the nation of Israel. He felt they didn't deserve the opportunity to repent. And his philosophy was they've sinned, so they need to be judged, not forgiven. But when you read what the Bible says about God, you'll see that that isn't God's character or intent. The Bible says God is a God of righteousness, so he will judge. But he is so full of love and mercy for everybody that he is far more wanting to forgive and to reach out and to bring people to him than he ever is to want to judge them. Hell exists for people who ignore God, not because God is ignoring people. And the same applies throughout history. God loves the world. And he's reaching out to everybody and wants everybody to come to him, to give their lives to him. And he wants us to do that because he has the best in mind and in plan for us. The question is, will we be that faithful to understand it? And when we are, will we then take God's forgiveness and share it with the world? The book of Jonah is a missionary tale about a man who God wanted to share the word, but a man who didn't because of various reasons. And one of them was a lack of being able to forgive people. Now, if you look in 2 Kings, you'll find that Jonah is no stranger to God's mercy. Jonah was a prophet in Israel in the time of a very wicked king, and at the time where Israel were turning to idolatry and turning right away to God. Israel, if anything, deserved to be punished. But God prophesied through Jonah that he would restore Israel and bring them back again. So Jonah had first-hand experience of what it's like to be forgiven unconditionally and undeservedly. Yet he wasn't willing to pass that on to others. Now maybe the same could be true of us. If you're a Christian here today, the fact is you have been undeservedly and unconditionally forgiven by God. So God asks that you do the same for him, that you share his love throughout the world with others. The reason some people that can't get anywhere is because they have an unforgiving spirit. So the book of Jonah asks us, are we forgiving of others like God is forgiving of us? And finally, the fourth reason Jonah rebelled is because of a lack of faithfulness. Jonah should have been faithful to God in spite of how he felt personally. A lady once asked John Wesley, the famous Methodist preacher, that if he knew he would die at midnight the next day, what would he do with his last 24 hours? How would he spend that time? Wesley said to her, "Madam, I would spend it just as I intend to now. I would preach this evening and at 5 a.m. in the morning. I would ride to another city and preach in the afternoon, meeting the societies in the evening. Then I would go to Mr. Martin's house, who is going to entertain me, and pray with the family as usual. Afterwards, I would retire to my room at 10 o'clock, commend myself to my Heavenly Father, lie down to rest, and wake up in glory." So in other words, Wesley was telling that lady, be life as usual for me. Because Wesley knew that as a Christian, he should always be seeking to be faithful to God and live his life for God. Wesley had given his life over to God entirely. And so when asked what the last thing he would do was, he would say, well, I just carry on what I'm doing. I would carry on living my life for God. Being faithful to our Lord should be a part of our normal Christian life. Now, I wonder how you would answer that same question. I suspect an awful lot of people, if asked, if you knew you only had 24 hours to live, what would you do? Would come up with all sorts of amazing things that would be very self-gratifying. I wonder if we were to be asked that, how much of that would we consider and put before God? How much would we think about faithfully living our lives for God? An indication, maybe, of how faithful we are to God would be the answer we give to that question, difficult though it is. So we see then from Jonah that his attempt to run from God stemmed from four things: a lack of fear or respect for God, a lack of faith in God, a lack of forgiveness towards others, and a lack of faithfulness toward God. And a combination of one or all those things in our lives is going to lead to us running from God as well. We need to be so careful. We need to be careful of how we live our lives. We need to live our lives for God and learn from God's word how we should do that. I was going to do a fair bit more, but time has gone, and that seems to me a good place to be. But what I will finish with is some good news. Because there is some good news in this story of Jonah as well. Some fantastic news for us all. And that comes through subtle use of words in the Hebrew. And actually from Jonah's name itself. Now I don't know if you know, but if you take Jonah's full name to be Jonah the son of Amittai, which is how it was in those days, I think my name, Ed Powell, Powell stands for, or comes from, Ap Howell, which means son of Howell. So at some point my ancestor was something or other son of Howell. And that's how people were known, that's where surnames tended to come from. And Jonah is the same, so he's known as Jonah the son of Amittai. Now, the word Jonah means dove. And Jonah lived at the same time as the prophet Hosea. And Hosea wrote about the nation of Israel basically saying it's like a dove, easily deceived and senseless in its dealings with God. So as we read Jonah, we'll actually see that he is true to his name. He is true in that he behaves in a silly and senseless manner towards God. And perhaps if we're honest, we do as well from time to time. But the lovely thing is that the son of Amittai means son of my faithfulness. And what you find in the book of Jonah is that whilst Jonah is both continually silly and senseless in his attitude to God and his behaviour towards him, God is always true and faithful to his compassion for both the Ninevites and Jonah. And it's not God's desire to let Jonah perish. We see that by the fish. God could quite easily have said, well, Jonah, if you're going away, then tough on you, and I'll leave it at that. But he didn't. He sent the fish to get Jonah and to protect him. Now, it's not the nicest of places to live for 3 days, I'm sure. And the pictures we sometimes get from Sunday school, this big hollow whale's belly and Jonah there with a candle, reading and whatever, I'm sure are nothing like what Jonah would have experienced for 3 days. But the fact is, the fish was an amazing sense of God's grace and mercy to Jonah. And all of the hardships that affect Jonah throughout this book, whether it's drowning in the ocean, living in the fish, being spat back up onto the shore, all of them come about as a result of his sinful actions, but all of them aren't God punishing him or pushing anger towards him or just venting his annoyance at Jonah. They are all designed to get Jonah's attention and bring him back into a relationship with God. God always wants what is best for his people, and he always wants to do what is best for us as well, just like Jonah. But God says, if you come to me, give your life to me, and follow me, then I will give you life that you have never expected, and I will give you experiences of myself you never thought were possible, and one day I'll welcome you into glory to be with me, where your eternity will be more fantastic than can ever be described in this world. That is God's love for people. So encourage yourselves by that. We have a loving God, a God who wants good for his people, a God who reaches out to his people. But also examine yourselves. How are you before God? Are you running from him in your life? Are you a long way from him? If so, then repent. Come back to God. Turn to him and tell him you're sorry, because God will never turn you away if you are repentant. He will always welcome you back to him. And maybe you are currently close to him. Perhaps you are running with God and enjoying being close to him. If that's the case, then thank him. Thank him for his glory and mercy. But also just beware. Keep an eye on things. Make sure you don't become complacent and stay faithful to him. God will never stop loving us. We should never stop loving him. So if you want to choose any way to go, choose God's way, because it's the best way for us all. Amen. Shall we reflect on those words now as we sing a final hymn? We're singing hymn number 600.